Remember the good old days? Those wonderful times when we all gathered together to hear those great stories that let our imaginations run wild. It was a simpler time when you could let your hair down and relax, a time of glory and honor. Well, come join us in the living room and relive those fun times again as we enjoy classic TV and radio shows right here on Radio America.
Eleanor Catherine Carlyle, you stand charged upon this indictment with the murder of Mary Gerard upon the 27th of July, 1938. How do you plead? Are you guilty or not guilty?
Not guilty.
We present Agatha Christie's Sad Cypress with Emma Fielding as Eleanor Carlyle and David McAllister as Dr. Lord.
Come, come away, come away, death, and in sad cypress let me blade. Fly, fly away, breath, I am slain.
This is to warn you, I'm naming no names, but there's someone sucking up to your Aunt Laura. And if you're not careful, you get cut out of everything. Girls are very artful, and old ladies is soft when young ones suck up to them and flatter them.
I say.
What I say is, you'd best come down and see for yourself what's going on. It's not right you and the young gentleman should be done out of what's yours. And she's very artful, and the old lady might pop off at any time. A well-wisher.
When did you get this?
It arrived by the morning's post. I was going to tear it up, but I thought you ought to read it first.
How extraordinary people are. Whoever could have written it?
One of the servants, I suppose.
And who do you think the person is, the one mentioned in the letter?
I can only suppose that it must be Mary Gerard.
Mary Gerard? Who's she?
Oh, you must remember her, Roddy. She's the daughter of the people who keep the lodge. Aunt Laura's always been fond of her. She paid for her schooling, arranged for her to have piano lessons, all that sort of thing.
Oh, yes, I remember her now. We used to play with her when we were kids. She was scrawny, all legs and arms, with a lot of messy, fair hair.
She's not like that now. It's a long time since you've been down at Hunterbury. She's been abroad, au pair in Germany. She's a nice-looking girl now and quite sophisticated. You'd never take her for old Gerard's daughter.
And has she really been sucking up to Aunt Laura?
I wouldn't say that exactly. I suppose she is up at the house a good deal. She reads aloud to Aunt Laura since she had a stroke.
Why can't the nurse read to her?
Nurse O'Brien's got a brogue and cut with a knife. I don't wonder Aunt Laura sends for Mary.
You know, Eleanor, I believe we ought to go down.
Because of this stupid letter?
No, of course not. Well, to be honest, yes. I mean, I know one shouldn't let oneself be influenced by things like this, but you never know. There may be some truth behind it. I mean, the old girl is pretty ill.
Yes, she is.
And we don't go down there as often as we should.
You don't, you mean?
And the money does matter. To you and me, Eleanor.
Just a drop of milk, is that it?
That's it.
And no sugar?
No sugar.
There we are.
Thank you.
Oh, I don't know what I do without you coming round every morning to give me a hand with Mrs. Wellman.
Oh.
Oh, there always seems so much to do, and the girls are worse than useless. It makes such a difference to have another qualified nurse around.
Well, I'm not exactly rushed off my feet down in the village. They're a healthy lot round here.
Oh, Mr. Wellman and Miss Carlyle are coming down. There was a telegram this morning.
I thought the old lady looked excited about something.
Oh, it'll be nice for her to see her niece and nephew.
He isn't her real nephew.
Well, her husband's nephew. I always thought it was a pity she never had any children of her own.
It must be some time since they were down here.
2 months at least. Such a nice young gentleman, Mr. Wellman, but very proud-looking.
I saw Miss Carlyle's picture in the Tatler the other day.
Oh.
With some smart society lot at Newmarket.
Oh, she always has such lovely clothes. Do you think she's good-looking?
Well, difficult to tell what these girls really look like under all their makeup. She hasn't got anything like the looks of Mary Gerard.
Well, you may be right, but Mary hasn't got the style.
Fine feathers make fine birds.
Funny thing happened last night.
What?
I went in at 2 o'clock to see that Mrs. Wellman was all right. And she was lying there, wide awake. She must have just come out of a dream, because as soon as I came in, she says, the photograph. Mm-hmm. I must have the photograph. Oh. So I said, of course, Mrs. Wellman. Do you mean the one of Mr. Roderick? And she said, not Roderick, Lewis.
And then what happened?
Well, she told me to unlock the second drawer of the tall boy, and there, sure enough, was a big photograph in a silver frame.
Huh?
Oh, such a handsome man. It must have been taken years ago. But I took it to her, and she held it there and stared at it for a long time.
Oh.
She just murmured, Lewis, Lewis. She gave it back to me and told me to put it away in the tall boy.
Was it her husband, do you think?
But no. No, it wasn't. Mr. Wellman's first name was Henry. Oh, he must have been a boyfriend a long time ago. I wonder what became of him.
Perhaps he was killed in the Great War.
Uncle Henry must have been pretty well off when he met your Aunt Laura. And she was an heiress.
She's always been very shrewd over money matters. Not like my father. He never had any business sense.
And Uncle Henry left everything to her. It's tragic his dying so soon.
I've always wondered why she never married again.
Just as well for our sake that she didn't. She's always been very good to us. If I've been in a hole, she's always helped me out.
She's been very generous to me, too.
Just as well, considering what your means really are. If it weren't for old Aunt Laura, you'd probably have to work for your living, and you wouldn't like that much.
Well, you're not exactly burdened down with work yourself.
Have you know? I put in 3 hours every day at Lewiston Home. But I can't say I worry much about the future. Nor will our expectations from Aunt Laura. I suppose it must be the Gerard girl the letter refers to.
There just isn't anybody else it could be.
Nurse Hopkins?
Oh, hello.
Nurse Hopkins, can you spare me a minute?
Of course I can, Mary. What's the trouble?
Trouble isn't really the right word. I need a bit of advice.
I'll do the best I can.
It's just that time is going on, and I'm not doing anything. I ought to get a job, earn my own living.
Well, there's time enough for that, surely.
That's what Mrs. Wellman's always telling me. But I can't see it like that. She's been wonderfully kind, but I want to make something of myself. I can't bear just sitting around doing nothing. I want to be training for a job.
What kind of a job?
That's why I want your advice. The trouble is that training of any kind is nearly always expensive. I know German pretty well now, and I might do something with that. But I really think I want to be a hospital nurse. I really do like nursing.
It's hard work, Mary.
That doesn't worry me. Mother's sister, the one in New Zealand, was a nurse, so it must be in the blood.
If you'll take my advice, you should be patient for the present. I'm sure Mrs. Wellman would help you get a start at making your living.
But she's done so much for me already.
Nonsense, she owes you that. But the truth of the matter is that she's got fond of you and doesn't want to lose you.
Do you really think so?
I'm sure of it. There she is, poor old lady, more or less helpless, paralyzed down one side, and nothing and nobody to amuse her but you. Means a lot to her to have a pretty young thing like you about the house. The best thing you can do is to stay where you are and stop worrying. It won't be for long.
What's the matter? My father's coming out of the lodge. He never has a good word to say for me these days.
Oh, I wouldn't take any notice.
I can't help taking notice. Always going on about me being a fine lady and too good for him.
Haven't you got anything better to do with yourself than stand round gossiping?
Good morning, Mr. Gerard. Something the matter?
Lumbago. That's what's the matter.
The warm weather will soon clear that away.
Oh, I suppose you think that because you're the district nurse, you know the answer to everything. She wants to be a nurse. Did you know that? You'd think she'd want to be something better than that with her French and German and her piano playing. Oh, what use of her languages and all her airs and graces ever been to me? That's what I'd like to know.
My. We are in a bad mood this morning, aren't we, Mrs. Gerard? Mary's a good girl. And a good daughter to you, and you know it.
She's no daughter of mine. You're ashamed of me, aren't you, Mary? That's where your learning and your fine ways have got you. You'd best be off to Mrs. Wellman's. At least you know which side your bread's buttered.
You poor soul. Is he always like this?
Always. He never liked me, even when I was a little girl. Mum always used to stand up for me.
I'm sure he doesn't really mean it, Mary.
Oh, he does.
All the more reason for your devoting your time to Mrs. Wellman, then. She'll see you're provided for.
Oh, Aunt Laura's never told us definitely just how she's left her money.
It doesn't matter much either way. She's probably divided it between us. But if she's left most of it to you as her own flesh and blood, or left it all to me as the only male representative of the family, they will all come to the same thing once we're married.
I suppose it will.
You do love me, don't you, Eleanor?
Yes.
Yes. You're adorable. So aloof, untouchable. La Princesse Lointaine. It's that quality of yours that made me love you, I believe.
Is it?
Well, some women are so possessive. Well, they look at you like a sick spaniel with their emotions slopping about all over the place. But with you, I never know. Any minute you might turn round in that cool, detached way of yours and say you'd changed your mind without batting an eyelid. I think ours will be the perfect marriage. I shall never get tired of you because you're such an elusive creature. I can't imagine myself ever looking at another woman.
Such an adventure as this. A fine young man and a lovely young woman thrown together in such a way. So Emma thought I'd leave.
Leave off reading for a while, Mary. I want to talk to you.
Of course, Mrs. Roman.
I'm very fond of you, my dear. You're very good to me.
It's you who've been good to me. I don't know what I should have done if it hadn't been for you. You've done everything for me.
Oh, I don't know about that. I only wish I did. One means to do the best one can, but it's so difficult to know what is best, what is right. I've been too sure of myself always.
I'm sure you've always known what's best and right to do.
No, I'm not certain anymore. It worries me. I've had one besetting sin always, Mary. And proud. Pride can be the devil. It runs in our family. Eleanor has it, too.
It will be nice for you to have Miss Eleanor and Mr. Roderick down. It'll cheer you up. It's quite a time since they were here.
They're young and happy with the world in front of them. No need to bring them near decay and suffering before their time.
I'm sure they'd never feel like that, Mrs. Wellman.
I always hoped they might marry, but I've never tried to suggest anything of the kind. That would have been sure to put them off. I had an idea long ago when they were children that Eleanor had set her heart on Roddy. I wasn't at all sure about him. He's such a funny creature, very reserved and fastidious. Henry was like that.
Your husband?
So long ago. So very long ago. We'd only been married for 5 years when he died. We were happy, very happy, but somehow it all seems very unreal, that happiness. I was an odd, solemn, undeveloped girl, my head full of ideas and hero worship. No reality.
And afterwards, you must have been very lonely.
Oh, yes, terribly lonely. I was only 26, and now I'm over 60. Long time to spend on your own, my dear. A long time. And now, this.
Your illness.
A stroke is the thing I've always dreaded. The indignity of it. Washed and tended like a baby. Helpless to do anything for myself. I can't abide it. Nurse O'Brien is a good soul. She doesn't mind my snapping at her. But it makes a lot of difference to me to have you about, Mary.
Does it? Does it really, Mrs. Wellman?
You've been worrying, haven't you?
What do you mean?
About the future. About what's going to happen to you.
Yes, I suppose I have.
You leave it to me, my dear. I'll see to it that you shall have the means to be independent and take up a profession. But be patient for a little. It means so much to me to have you here.
Of course I will. I wouldn't leave you for the world. Not if you want me.
I do want you, Mary. You're almost like a daughter to me. I've seen you grow up here at Hunterbury from a little toddling thing. Seen you grow into a beautiful girl. I'm proud of you, child. I only hope I've done my best for you.
I'm very grateful. I don't have to tell you that. Father says you've educated me above my station and given me fine lady ideas. But it isn't true. If I want to start earning my own living, it's because it's time I should. I don't like it to be thought that I'm sponging on you.
Pay no attention to your father, Mary. There never has been and never will be any question of your sponging on me. I'm asking you to stay on here solely on my account. It will be over soon. Is that a car?
I'll go and see. Yes, Miss Eleanor and Mr. Roderick have arrived. I better be going.
Welcome home, Miss Eleanor. Mr. Roderick.
Thank you, Mrs. Bishop.
Good to see you.
How is my aunt?
Much as you might expect. No change. She'll be all the better for seeing you. It's time she had one of her own family to talk to. There's been far too much of a certain person about the place.
Shall I go up?
She's expecting you.
I'll leave you to it, Eleanor. I think I'll take a turn round the garden.
I'm very glad, Eleanor, about you and Roddy.
I thought you would be Aunt Laura.
You do care about him.
Of course.
You must forgive me, Eleanor, but you're so reserved. It's difficult to know what you're thinking or feeling. When you were both much younger, I thought you were perhaps beginning to care for Roddy too much.
Really?
Yes, it's not wise to care too much.
I care for Roddy enough and not too much.
Then I think you'll be happy, my dear. Roddy needs love, but he doesn't like violent emotion. Possessiveness would frighten him off.
How well you understand him.
If Roddy cares for you just a little more than you care for him, well, that's all to the good.
Aunt Agatha's advice column. Keep your boyfriend guessing. Don't let him be too sure of you.
Are you unhappy, child? Is anything wrong?
Oh, no, no. Nothing.
You thought I was being rather cheap. My dear, you know, life is rather cheap, I'm afraid.
I suppose it is.
Oh, dear child, you are unhappy. What is it?
Oh, nothing. Absolutely nothing. Aunt Laura, do you think love is ever a happy thing?
In the sense you mean, Eleanor, probably not. To care passionately for another human creature always brings more sorrow than joy. But all the same, Eleanor, no one would be without that experience. Anyone who's never really loved has never really lived.
Yes, but you understand. You've known what it's like to love someone who...
What is it?
Sorry to disturb you, Mrs. Wellman, but the doctor's here.
Well, show him in, nurse.
Go in, Dr. Lord.
Thank you. Good morning, Mrs. Wellman. I thought I'd just see her.
Good morning, Dr. Lord. This is my niece, Eleanor Carlyle.
Miss Carlyle, how do you do?
Eleanor and Roddy have come down to breathe new life into me, Doctor.
I'm sure they will, Mrs. Wellman. Just what you need.
I'd better go. Perhaps I shall see you before you leave, Doctor.
Yes, of course.
I'll leave you then.
Good-looking girl, isn't she?
Yes, I suppose so.
You suppose so? You haven't looked at me since you came into the room.
Let me take your pulse, Mrs. Wellman.
You're not fooling anyone, Dr. Lord. But go through your bag of tricks if you must.
The trouble with me is that I've never learned the right bedside manner.
Rest assured, Doctor, there's nothing wrong with your bedside manner, and you know it. So, what's the verdict?
You're coming along splendidly.
So, I shall be up and walking round the house in a few weeks' time.
I wouldn't go that far.
What humbugs you doctors are. What's the good lying stretched out on a bed like this and cared for like a baby?
Mrs. Wellman, you're one of the people who really want to live, whatever you may say about it. And if your body wants to live, it's no use your brain telling you that it doesn't.
And what does your body tell you, Doctor? Do you really want to spend the rest of your life looking after self-centered old ladies in a village miles from anywhere? Don't you want to specialize?
The trouble with me, Mrs. Wellman, is that I've got absolutely no ambition. I don't really want to pin down the rare bacillus and obscure disease. I like measles and chicken pox and all the rest of it. I shall stay here till I grow side whiskers and people begin saying, "Of course, we've always had Dr. Lord, but I suppose he is rather old-fashioned in his methods. Perhaps we'd better call in young so-and-so, who's much more up-to-date."
I don't believe a word of it.
No, I must be off on my rounds.
Be sure to have a word with my niece before you go.
I will, Mrs. Wellman.
And perhaps you can get one of the servants to find out where that nephew of mine has gone to. I know he doesn't care for sick beds, but he might at least put his head round the door.
Don't you remember me, Mr. Wellman?
No, I'm sorry, I don't. Who are you?
I'm Mary Gerard from the lodge.
You're Mary Gerard?
It's been a long time since we played together as children. I must have changed a lot since you saw me.
I wouldn't have recognized you as the same person.
Mary Gerard!
Miss Eleanor, it's very nice to see you.
I hear you've been doing quite a lot to help my aunt.
Not that much. Reading to her every now and then.
Nurse O'Brien seems to think you're indispensable. She wants you to help lift my aunt. She says you usually do it with her.
I'll go at once, Miss Eleanor.
And she wants to see you too, Roddy.
I just can't believe it.
You can't believe what?
Well, that's the little girl from the lodge. We used to pull her hair and plow.
Well, what about her?
Nothing really. I didn't recognize her, that's all.
Oh, come on, Mary. This is a really good film.
It's frightfully nice of you, Ted, but I really can't.
I can't make you out nowadays, Mary. You're different. Altogether different. Ever since you came back from Germany, you don't seem to have time for any of your old friends.
That's not true, Ted. And I haven't changed, not really.
Oh, yes, you have. You're almost a lady now.
Almost isn't good enough, though, is it?
No, I suppose it isn't.
I'm sorry, Ted, but I must go. I'm late.
Where are you off to, then?
I'm going to have tea with Nurse Hopkins.
Rather you than me. That woman's the biggest gossip in the village.
She's been very kind to me, always.
I'm not saying there's any harm in her, but she talks.
Goodbye, Ted.
Goodbye, Mary.
Was that Ted Bigland you were talking to?
He wanted me to go to the pictures with him.
Well, of course, he's a nice young fellow in his way, and he's doing quite well at the garage. But I can't help thinking you ought to be setting your sights a bit higher.
I've been thinking that myself.
You ought to be getting about a bit. You shouldn't be burying yourself down here.
Mrs. Wellman doesn't want me to go away just now.
Sure she doesn't. Did she say anything about taking care of your future?
She told me not to worry. She'd be making provision for me.
Well, let's hope she puts it down in black and white.
Miss Eleanor and Mr. Roderick didn't stay long, did they?
And they won't be back in a hurry. You can be sure of that.
Roddy, I've been ringing you for ages. Where have you been?
Nowhere in particular. What's the matter?
I had a telegram from Dr. Law this morning. Aunt Laura's had another stroke.
Oh, poor old soul. And she seemed so perky when we were down there.
I do mind so terribly for her. I know how much she hated being ill anyway, and now she'll be more helpless still, and she'll simply loathe that. I can't help feeling that people ought to be set free, if that's what they really want. You put animals out of their pain, why not human beings?
Do you think we should go down?
Of course, we must.
Well, you're not still worrying about the will and Mary Gerard and all that.
I'm worrying about Aunt Laura.
Good evening, Nurse Hopkins. Good of you to come over.
Glad to lend a hand, Doctor.
Yes, Nurse O'Brien could do with a break. Tomorrow I'll try and get hold of a second resident nurse. Awkward with this diphtheria outbreak over at Stanford.
Well, I'd better see what I can do. I'll leave my case down here. It won't be in the way.
No, I'm sure it won't.
I'd better go up, then.
Is she any better, Doctor?
I can ensure her a peaceful night, Mary. That's about all that can be done.
It seems so unfair, so cruel. Such a kind, caring person.
Ah, Miss Carlyle.
Sorry we're so late.
Trouble with the car, I'm afraid.
Oh. Hello, Miss Gerard.
Good evening, Mr. Wellman. Can I take your coat?
Oh, thanks.
Is my aunt very bad?
You must be prepared for a bit of a shock, Miss Carlyle. She's badly paralyzed. Her speech is almost unrecognizable. And she's definitely worried about something. It seems to be about sending for her lawyer. Do you know who he is?
Yes, he's Mr. Seddon. His office is in Bloomsbury Square. But he wouldn't be there at this time of the evening, and I don't know his home address.
Oh, tomorrow we'll be in plenty of time. I'm anxious to set Mrs. Wellman's mind at rest as soon as possible. Could you come up with me, Miss Carlyle?
Of course.
You don't want me?
Not the least need, Mr. Wellman. Better not have too many people in the room.
That's all right, then.
Shall we go up?
Yes, of course.
I'm here, Aunt Laura.
Dr. Lord says you want me to send for Mr. Seddon. Is that right? Mary? Mary Gerard?
Provision.
Provision? Is that what you said? You want to make provision for her in your will? You want her to have some money? I'll telephone Mr. Seddon first thing in the morning and get him to come down straight away. Everything shall be arranged exactly as you wish.
Come, we'll let her rest now.
Good night, Aunt Laura. Dr. Lord, is it all right if I go in and see her for a moment?
Yes, of course, Mary. Keep quiet, though, and don't disturb her.
I won't.
That was exactly what was needed.
What? What did you say?
That you were everything you should have been. Practical, reassuring. Is something the matter?
Oh, no, nothing. It upset me terribly seeing her like that.
Well, you didn't show it. You must have great self-control.
I've learned not to show my feelings.
All the same, the mask's bound to slip once in a while.
The mask?
The human face is, after all, nothing more nor less than a mask.
And underneath?
Underneath is the primitive man or woman.
She seems to be sleeping peacefully. Thank you for letting me go into her. Good night, Doctor. Good night, Miss Carlyle.
Good night.
Good night, Mary. I'll be on my way, then. There's nothing more I can do for the moment. I'll look in early tomorrow. Goodbye, Miss Carlyle. Don't worry too much.
I'll try not to, Doctor.
What's the poor old dear worrying about?
She wants to see Seddon. I'll telephone first thing.
Does she want to make a new will? Is that it?
She didn't say so. Just something about wanting to make provision.
For Mary?
Yes, for Mary Gerard.
Miss Carlyle! Miss Carlyle!
What is it? Mrs. Bishop, what's happened?
It's your aunt, Miss Eleanor. Poor old lady passed away in her sleep.
Aunt Laura's dead?
Yes. She wouldn't have felt a thing. It was quite painless, Nurse Hopkins says.
What a blessing for her.
Strange that it should happen so suddenly, though. What was the doctor saying? He'd call again this morning and everything as usual.
It wasn't exactly sudden. After all, she'd been ill for some time. I'm just thankful that she was spared more suffering.
What is it, nurse? Have you lost something?
I can't find a tube of morphine. I could have sworn it was in my case when I left it down here last night. I gave Mrs. Wellman the last tablet of the old tube yesterday evening. And I was sure I had the new tube in here.
It must still be in your cupboard at home.
It must be. But I did think I could trust my memory better than that.
It was a full tube of morphine.
Yes, it was.
Nobody could have pinched it, could they?
Of course not. Who'd do a thing like that?
You've signed the death certificate then, Doctor?
Of course I've signed it, nurse. Is there any reason why I shouldn't?
Natural causes.
Of course. Natural causes.
Do you mean to say that my aunt died intestate, that she never made a will at all?
That seems to be the case, Mr. Wellman.
Extraordinary.
Oh, not so extraordinary as you might imagine. It happens more frequently than you would think. There's a kind of superstition about it. People will think that they've got plenty of time. The mere fact of making a will seems to bring the possibility of death nearer to them. Very odd, but there it is.
But, Mr. Seddon, did you never try to point out to her that she ought to make a will?
Frequently, Miss Carlyle.
And what did she say?
No, the usual things. There was plenty of time. She didn't intend to die just yet. That she hadn't made her mind up definitely exactly how she wished to dispose of her money.
But surely, after she had her first stroke...
No, no, it was worse then. She wouldn't hear the subject mentioned.
Surely that's very odd.
Oh, no. Her illness made her much more frightened.
But she wanted to die. She said so to everyone.
Ah, my dear Miss Eleanor. The human mind is a curious piece of mechanism. Mrs. Wellman may have thought she wanted to die, but side by side with that feeling, there ran the hope that she would recover, absolutely. And because of that hope, I think she felt that to make a will would be unlucky. It wasn't so much that she didn't want to make one, as she was eternally putting it off. She kept telling herself that there was plenty of time.
So that's why she was so upset last night, and in such a panic that you should be sent for.
Undoubtedly.
So what happens now?
Since Mrs. Wellman died intestate, all her property goes to her next of kin. That is, to you, Miss Carlyle.
All to me?
The Crown takes a certain percentage.
But what about Roddy? Doesn't he get anything?
He is only Mrs. Wellman's husband's nephew. There is no blood relationship.
I don't think she would have thought of it that way.
Unfortunately, the law does.
But it doesn't matter, does it?
Oh, for heaven's sake, Eleanor, I don't want the damn money.
But I thought we'd agreed that it wasn't important which of us got it, since we're getting married anyway. You said so. Don't you remember?
I remember.
We are going to marry one another, aren't we?
Well, I understood that was the plan. Of course, Eleanor, if you've got other ideas...
I'm not the one who has other ideas.
What do you mean?
I think you know very well what I mean.
I just don't know what's happened to me.
I do.
Perhaps it's just that I don't quite like the idea of living on my wife's money.
You know very well it's got nothing to do with that. I'm not blind. It's Mary Gerard, isn't it?
I suppose it is. How did you know?
It wasn't difficult. It's there in your face for anyone to read every time you look at her. I saw it again when we arrived here last night.
I just don't know how it happened. That first time we came down here after the anonymous letter, I just took one look at her and everything got turned upside down. You can't understand.
Yes, I can. Go on.
I didn't want to fall in love with her. I was happy with you. It upset everything. All the decent, ordered, reasonable things.
Love isn't very reasonable.
No, it isn't.
Have you said anything to her?
This morning, I lost my head. I tried to talk to her. She shut me up at once. She said she didn't want to know about it. Because of Aunt Laura and, because of you.
You'd better have your ring back, Roddy.
Thanks. Eleanor, you can't imagine how dreadful I feel. I do love you, you know. As much as ever. It's just that it's like a dream. I might wake up from it and find she wasn't there.
Is that what you want?
What?
For her not to be there.
Sometimes I wish she wasn't. You and I belong, Eleanor. We do belong, don't we?
Oh, yes. We belong, Roddy. But not with Mary Gerard around.
You have to admit it was a lovely funeral.
Oh, it was. I never saw such beautiful flowers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering, if Mrs. Wellman had made a will, how she would have left her money?
I know one thing.
What's that?
She'd have left a sum of money to Mary Gerard.
A sum of money? I'll tell you this, Miss Hopkins. It's my opinion she'd have left her every single penny she possessed.
Oh, I don't think she'd have done that. She'd have looked after her own flesh and blood, anyway.
Well, there's flesh and blood, and flesh and blood.
Now, what on earth do you mean by that?
I've said enough. You won't find me blackening the memory of the dead. Did you find that tube of morphine?
No, I didn't. Oh. It wasn't in the medicine chest.
Can't imagine what I could have done with it. You didn't leave your case anywhere else?
No, of course not. Set it down in the hall when I arrived at Hunterbury. There it stayed.
It is a mystery. I mean, it's not as if...
Not as if what?
Well, no one would have taken it, surely.
Why should they?
That's just what I think. I wouldn't worry about it if I were you.
I'm not worrying.
I was told you wanted to see me, Miss Eleanor.
Thank you for coming over, Mary. Sit down, will you? I think you know, Mary, that my aunt always took a great interest in you and was concerned about your future.
Mrs. Wellman was very good to me always.
My aunt, if she had lived to make a will, would have wished, I know, to leave several legacies. Since she died intestate, the responsibility of carrying out her wishes rests on me.
Yes, Miss Eleanor.
And though it was difficult for my aunt to speak coherently, she was able to make her meaning understood that last evening. She definitely wanted to make some provision for your future.
That was very good of her.
As soon as probate is granted, I'm arranging that £2,000 should be made over to you. The sum to be yours to do with absolutely as you please.
Well, that's very kind of you, Miss Eleanor. I don't know what to say.
It wasn't particularly kind of me, and please, don't say anything.
You don't know what a difference it will make to me.
I'm glad. Do you have any plans, Mary?
Yes, I do. I want to train for something in nursing. Nurse Hopkins suggested that I take a course in London.
That sounds a very good idea. I'll try to arrange with Mr. Seddon that some money be advanced to you as soon as possible.
That's very good of you, Miss Eleanor.
It's got nothing to do with me. I'm merely fulfilling my aunt's wishes.
Very generous, I'd have thought. Exactly right. You've always had excellent judgment.
There's something else, Roddy. I want you to have your proper share of the money.
No, Eleanor, I don't want it.
Half the money was your uncle's anyway.
Eleanor, do you really want me to feel more of a heel than I already am? I don't want your money.
But it isn't mine, don't you see?
It's yours by law, and that's all that matters. I won't take a penny from you. You're not going to try your Lady Bountiful act on me.
Roddy!
I'm sorry, Eleanor, forgive me. I didn't mean that. I'm just so confused about everything, that's all. Did Mary tell you what she proposes to do?
She said that she was going to train as a nurse in London.
I see.
Roddy, I want you to listen to me carefully.
Yes, what is it?
You're not particularly tied down, are you? You can always get a holiday, can't you?
Oh, yes. No difficulty there.
Then why don't you do just that? Well, go abroad somewhere for, say, 3 months.
But what's the idea?
Look, at the moment, you think you're in love with Mary Gerard. Perhaps you are. But this isn't the time to approach her. You know that only too well.
Yes, I do.
Our engagement is definitely broken off. Go abroad as a free man and, at the end of 3 months, make up your mind. You'll know then whether you really love Mary or whether it was just a temporary infatuation. And if you're quite sure you love her, well, then come back and tell her so and that you're quite sure about it. Perhaps then she'll listen.
If you want to know my opinion, you've been very lucky, Mary. Miss Carlyle could quite conveniently have forgotten all about her aunt's wishes.
And yet somehow I feel she doesn't like me.
And with good reason, I should say.
What do you mean?
Oh, don't you play the innocent with me, my girl. I've seen the way Mr. Roderick follows you about, making sheep's eyes at you. He's got it badly, hasn't he?
I suppose he has.
And what about you? Do you feel anything for him?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Don't be in too much of a hurry, my dear. With your looks, you can afford to pick and choose.
What do you think I ought to do about Father? He says I ought to give some of the money to him.
Don't you do anything of the kind. Mrs. Wellman certainly never meant any of that money for him.
It seems funny, when she got all that money, she never made a will to say how it should go.
People are like that, Mary. Always putting it off.
It seems downright silly to me.
Have you made a will, then?
What should I be doing making a will? I haven't got anything to leave.
You have now. And quite a tidy little sum, too.
Well, there's no hurry.
There you go. Just because you're a healthy young girl doesn't mean you mightn't get run down by a bus, my dear.
And who'd get my money if I didn't make a will?
I suppose it would go to your father.
I certainly don't want him to have it. And as you say, Mrs. Wellman wouldn't have wanted it. You're right, I must make a will. But who should I leave it to?
Haven't you got any other relatives?
I've an aunt in New Zealand.
Well, the one who's a nurse?
I haven't heard from her for years.
What's her name?
Mary Riley. I was named after her. But can I leave the money to her just like that? I don't even know where she lives.
Well, I imagine you just make it out to Mary Riley, sister of the late Elizabeth Gerard. Mm. The solicitors can always advertise in the New Zealand papers.
I don't even know how to set about making a will.
Oh, that's no problem. You can get a form at the post office.
Glad to see someone looking so cheerful. What's the joke?
Oh, Dr. Lord. I didn't see you. What joke?
That's what I wanted to know. You were grinning all over your face.
Oh, it's so silly. I looked in at Nurse Hopkins' cottage. She was sitting at the kitchen table with Mary Gerard. I asked what they were doing, and Mary said she was making her will. I just laughed out loud. I don't know why.
Oh, doesn't sound particularly funny to me. Did they notice?
Oh, yes, they noticed. They looked perfectly astonished. It must have been a nervous reaction on my part. Wills have been rather on my mind lately.
Are you staying down here much longer?
I'm leaving tomorrow.
Are you thinking of living at Hunterbury?
No, I'm not. I think I shall sell the place if I can get a decent offer for it.
That's a pity. Won't you regret giving up the house?
Not any more. There's nothing there now but memories I want to put out of my mind forever. I must be going, Doctor. I've got a lot to do.
You're listening to Classic TV and Radio on Radio America. We have a great variety of shows for you to enjoy, and we're adding more every day. We're happy you're listening, and we would appreciate any donations you could make so we can keep these great old programs coming. If there's a particular show you would like to hear, or you just want to make a comment, you can email us at radioamerica@inbox.com. Thank you, and join us again right here on Classic TV and Radio shows.